All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming. And hopefully I can snap you out of your post-lunch food coma. So let's have a roaring presentation here. All right. So first, we start with something that we are all, or some of us are somewhat familiar with, which is algal blooms associated with runoff. It happens in a variety of places. I'm here today to talk about specifically Lake Erie and Ohio. So as we can see in this,
if that's your only mouse, and it all depends on.
There we go. All right. So as we can see here, algal blooms here in Lake Erie are increasing in intensity and in scope. And so we can see that here visually, and then also here, we see that that trend is increasing with time here. And here are the projections for 2017. So there is no downward trend. If anything, it is upwards thus far. Here is a classification of the different types of sources flowing into specifically Lake Erie. And as we can see, these red areas here are the non-point sources. So that would be generally agricultural runoff is one of the significant sources of that. And according to the Ohio Lake Erie Task Force, 60.8% of that total phosphorus load is coming from these non-point sources, again, agricultural runoff. So all of this is juxtaposed with our data that we are seeing in the soil. This is data that I took from IPNI's lovely soil test summary online, and these are huge databases of up to 327,000 samples that they've put together. And as we can see, the soil test phosphorus levels are decreasing in the state of Ohio. This is relegated to Ohio. So just again to underline, phosphorus levels in the soil are going down, algal blooms are increasing. So big question mark for us as agricultural scientists here. So in this task force that they put forth, there are many recommendations to mitigate these P losses. But today I wanted to focus on three of them. So we have nutrient management, which is something that we're all familiar with, which is just basically minimize your phosphorus fertilization. Seems straightforward, but you know, farmers want to manage uncertainty, and so they have a tendency to overapply. Then another very general one is increase soil health. And by that, I am interpreting from that they want to retain and cycle the nutrients. Another one is to improve your physical properties. So increase your aggregation, decrease compaction, etc. Now, these are great recommendations, but I think it's worthwhile to bring up that the latter two of these are inherently linked to organic matter content. And there are some studies out there, I know this is somewhat contentious, suggesting that when you decrease fertilization of nitrogen and phosphorus, that you will limit your carbon sequestration potential, or carbon stabilization potential, I should say. So the question that I am somewhat getting at is, are these strategies compatible? If we minimize phosphorus fertilizer applications, are we limiting the amount of organic matter we can have, and therefore kind of erasing any increases in soil health we have, or increases or improvements, rather, in the aggregation of our soils? So maybe to formalize this a little bit in terms of research questions, what is the effect of long-term fixed P fertilization rates on P fractionation, our soil physical quality measurements, and our soil health indicators? I distinguish between those because, again, these are somewhat tenuously linked, so I want to parse those apart. Or more even generally speaking, is reducing fertilizer applications going to adversely affect our other mitigation strategies? So we luckily have some long-term phosphorus restriction trials in Ohio that have been going on for 11 years. So as you can see in the map here, they are located across the state in the prime agricultural regions, and they're corn-soybean rotations and randomized complete blocks, four blocks, and they represent our three major land resource regions in Ohio. And so we have calculated pea fertilization rates, and we've applied at 0, 1, and 3 times grain removal. And this is assuming certain corn and soybean yields. And then N and K are sufficient in these, or rather, we call them sufficient. They are the recommended rates for these. Yeah, after the last presentation, I'm trying to be cautious here. So anyways, we went at these locations and we did a phosphorus fractionation. So that was the Headley sequential fractionation, which we modified it slightly. So the first fraction, the most labile fraction, is water. Then you do sodium bicarbonate, sodium hydroxide, and then hydrochloric acid. And I grouped the inorganic P from the water and the sodium bicarbonate, just generally calling it labile or plant available, however you would like to say it. And then we have a couple soil health indicators. Particularly, we have permanganate oxidizable carbon, or active carbon, and then our mineralizable carbon, or respiration. And then we looked at a couple of soil physical quality measurements. So we have infiltration rate and compaction. And then, of course, we have our standard soil test, malic extraction. So first, I want to tell you a little bit more about the site. So this is from a previous paper published by my lab mate last year. And so we see our corn yield and our soybean yield here. The asterisks, of course, indicate statistical differences. So we have a very infrequent yield response to P, right? Then if we look over here, this is our soil test phosphorus levels. And so we see there is differentiation in our soil test phosphorus levels within treatments within a site, as well as if you squint your eyes a little bit with me, we can see site differentiation as well. Anyways, we'll leave that at that. So here is our results. Here is the phosphorus fractionation. This is our Headley fractionation. So again, we have our labile P, labile P here, we have our sodium hydroxide P, which would be our iron and aluminum associated phosphorus, and then the hydrochloric acid is generally calcium associated phosphorus. So we see our three different levels here. We see huge differences, as would be expected, and less differences between sites across a treatment. And for those who like the statistical differences, we see here in this western site, which is in southwestern Ohio, somewhat counterintuitively, there are no statistical differences between treatments in any of our fractions. So that would be here. And then in Worcester, which is northeastern Ohio, we have differences in labile P and our iron and aluminum associated or sodium hydroxide inorganic phosphorus. And here at Northwest, which is the one closest to Lake Erie and where most of the phosphorus runoff is being attributed to from Ohio, we see huge differences right in our labile P and both of our more stable or recalcitrant types of phosphorus here. So moving right along to our soil physical quality indicators, this is infiltration rate, which gives us hydraulic conductivity, and we see the largest effect we see is a site effect. So some sites infiltrate better than others. We kind of know that, right? There is a small treatment effect at Northwest. Somewhat counterintuitively, it is our 0x, so it hasn't gotten phosphorus in a while. It has a better infiltration rate. So that is counter to what we would hypothesize. Here in terms of compaction, we again have that site effect. And there is also a treatment effect at Western, which you can see these two are essentially the same, but at our highest phosphorus fertilization rate, we do see greater penetration resistance. So using soil health indicators, this is a paper published last year. It's a way to use these things in tandem with one another. So this is permanganate oxidizable carbon. This is our respiration. And this was a big study. Go look it up, I encourage you. But anyways, when we use the residuals and it's more associated with permanganate, which is a positive residual, we see greater organic matter stabilization, and in greater, here with respiration, it's greater mineralization or oxidation of organic matter. Essentially, we are mining our organic matter for its fertility. So here, moving along to our treatments, we have positive residuals at all of our highest rates, and as you can see at the lowest rates, we have negative residuals, so that is mineralization or essentially mining our organic matter. And at the medium rate, we see that it's mixed, but it still follows the same trend. So to me, this suggests that although we might not see, we see no significant differences in organic matter content. So this might be essentially a canary in the coal mine, if you will, that this is the way the effect might be trending. And an interesting triangulation between results is when we look at our organically associated organomineral associations. So this is organic matter that is associated with iron and aluminum, which is a completely different method from anything we've used here. We see that, again, at the, and this is a preliminary result, it's not replicated, just single rep per site, we see that at the higher fertilization rates, we have stabilizing, and at the lower ones, we have mineralization. So this is a convergence between what our soil health indicators are saying and what our mineralogical indicators are telling us here. Again, this is preliminary, unreplicated. Don't bet the horse on this, but, you know, I'm here to tell you where I'm at right now. So to answer our question, are the strategies compatible? Maybe, right? So one of the three sites did have a response to penetration resistance, compaction. One had hydraulic conductivity. But really, our soil health indicators and our mineralogical data is pointing that that might actually be a trend. And so with that, I think my time is about up. So I'd like to acknowledge all my lab mates who helped me do all this field work and in the lab. Here they are smiling, and here they are working very hard in the field, laying down on the job. Thanks. So with that, I would like to take, if I have time for a question or two.
Thanks, Jordan. We have time for questions. Yes. I thought that was a fascinating presentation.
Thank you.
I wondered, Jordan, when you presented your results, was there a question there?
Okay. Yes.
Pretty simple one. If you were Garmin, which one would you pick, 0, 1X, or 3X?
Well, I mean, 1X seems the happy medium, right? I think what the results are trending towards is that it will be site-dependent, right? So our soil health indicators in two of the sites showed that 1X was stabilizing organic matter, but in the third site, it was showing that maybe we were mineralizing it. So anyways, I think that if I were to make a blanket recommendation, it would probably be, that it depends, which is maybe a bit unglamorous. So,
thanks, Jordan.
Your question or no time?
Oh, I have a question too.
Yes.
You point to the possibility, at least, that mm-hmm. some organomineral complexes are forming. Perhaps.
Or being lost, perhaps.
Or being lost.
Yes.
I wonder how plant available you think they might be.
So the traditional concept around those is that they are more chemically stable fractions. But there is some recent work to show that those can, in fact, become destabilized with low molecular weight organic acids, which are coincidentally exuded in response to peat stress by plants. But that is, again, very inconclusive, just, off the cuff. So.
One last question.
So you showed some results from bulk soil. Do you think, at the one side, I think the western side, you didn't see any treatment effect?
Mm-hmm.
If you looked at different...
Are you talking about this one, or?
No, back to the head reflection.
Yes. Yes, so there are some differences. I didn't include it because, unfortunately, I have about 12 minutes. But, so we did do an aggregate size separation. We separated into macro, micro, and silt and clay. Again, unreplicated. But there were trends at two of the three sites that, again, at higher fertilization rates, we get more aggregation and more phosphorus associated with silt and clay. Although I should note that none of these soils are too phosphorus stressed yet. There's still a lot of legacy phosphorus. All the STP values are within maintenance range. So, anyways.
Thank you, Jordan.
I think that's my time. Thank you.